Welcome. You are listening to KCSU's football game post game podcast. There we go.
First of the year, first of the series. So pretty excited about it.
Oh yeah, it's exciting. Yeah. About a lot more exciting than the rest of the season for CSU.
Yeah, it's been viciously underwhelming.
Exactly. This last Friday, the CSU Rams took on the Wyoming Cowboys here in Fort Collins, and they got whooped on the Border War, losing 34-21. Nick, what were your thoughts on this game?
Well, I like what you said, whooped on, but if you casual fan looks at the post-game box score, 34-21, you're like, hey, they stuck in it. It's a 13-point game. It's two possessions. That's not that bad, but it did not feel like a 34-21 game when you were there. I watched that game the whole way through, so did you. We were in the press box, and there was about 3 minutes where I was like, hey, they might be able to tie this up, and then Colin Hill threw an interception, and all of that went right out the window and more, and it did not feel like a two-possession game. It felt like a 3-4 possession game almost the entire way.
It was a very long game, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mike Bobo, of course, named Colin Hill the starting quarterback for this week, as opposed to the previous weeks where KJ Carr-Samuels came in. He's a transfer from Washington. He's a backup there. And even though it might seem like inflated stats, he's done a fantastic job in terms of putting up yards and at least points and getting it to wide receivers where they can perform exceptionally well.
Oh, yeah.
And now coming into this game, I feel like everything changed. Not really everything, but I feel like we started at the very beginning again.
For me, when they made the decision to put in Hill, that's you can't tank in college because there's no draft or anything. But to me, that's when they decided the season was over, because KJ Carter-Samuels has been producing really well. They've put in Colin Hill several times. He hasn't worked very well. So for me, that's when you make the decision that the season's over. You'd rather give Colin Hill the experience than compete for a win with KJ.
Exactly. KJ was 7th in passing yards per game and 14th in completions.
Right.
And even though, it might come in during times where, the score is obviously...
Right, and we have to pass. But, yeah. That doesn't change the fact that he has that number.
Yeah, that he puts up, that's incredible numbers. Right.
You put me in this offense, and I'm not going to be 7th in the FBS. You have to have some skill to go with the scenarios.
Exactly. And then for this time, they finally put in Colin Hill, who was originally going to be was the starter, and then he tore his ACL 8 months ago, 9 months ago?
Yeah, it was in March, so about 7 months ago.
7 months ago,
yeah.
Which is incredible fast recovery.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And throughout this season, if you've been watching, Mike Bobo, at some what seems to be the most random times, takes out KJ Carr-Samuels and puts in Colin Hill.
Right, and he said in the post-game conferences that's because, KJ forgot to make a check down or something. And I'm thinking to myself, how is he ever going to learn if you bench him every time he forgets to make a check down? I mean, NFL quarterbacks probably forget to make check downs. It's a minor thing you don't see. And even if he scores, they're still benching him for that kind of thing. And, at some point you got to loosen the leash on him. And it's becoming more and more clear as the season goes on. Bobo's like a parent. And Colin Hill's the young one, like his princess, the favorite child, and KJ's the older one that he's kind of disinterested in now, and every opportunity he gets, he gives it to Colin Hill.
Yeah. Colin Hill went 34-54,
yeah,
had 333 yards passing, as well as a rushing touchdown, which in all honesty came during garbage time, so it's not that impressive. He also had two interceptions, so zero throwing touchdowns. Two interceptions
and a fumble that was essentially an interception.
Exactly. And honestly, it shocked me watching it. At halftime, the score was 3-0. And times where CSU has been at least able to put a touchdown or some kind of points on the board, Colin Hill still came out in the second half to start. And in my mind, I thought, you're looking for a spark and you're looking for a plug. And so far, your defense is doing a pretty good job against Wyoming, holding to just 3 points.
3-0. You got to
That's
make
two
an
quarters.
Explosion, yeah.
Yeah. And your offense needs to put points on the board, and they haven't done that.
Right.
And obviously, when you have Colin Hill in there, and I'm sure he was great previously before the injury,
right,
as opposed to now, when you look at it, you go, okay, well, now the defense is tired and they give up 34 points, 31 in, yeah, in one half.
Right. You know, the defense was doing all they could. That offense, you know, isn't a great one at Wyoming, but it's a rush heavy offense, and that's something CSU struggled against this year. For some reason, dynamic offenses that have passing and rushing are less effective against CSU, and if you're hardcore rushing, hardcore passing, you're better against CSU for some reason. And their quarterback was just running all over them, and if you've watched, you know, like the Hawaii game, for example, Cole McDonald was just tearing through CSU's defense as a rushing quarterback. So that's pretty clear that that's one of the ways to beat CSU. You're right. KJ should have made an appearance, especially by the logic that he was taking KJ out.
Yeah.
He should have put KJ in the same logic.
When KJ goes and has a touchdown scoring drive and you put in Colin Hill in the next drive,
right,
it makes zero sense to me.
Well, you're taking him out for minor things. Why wouldn't you take Colin Hill out for major things?
Yeah.
Bad reads, bad passes, you know. It was funny. We were kind of, the biggest concern with Colin Hill was that he was going to be too scared in the pocket because of his injuries. But he was actually not scared enough. He was just standing flat-footed in the pocket, just getting hammered. That fumble he had was because he was so unaware in the pocket that he just got brutalized from the back. I can't remember who it was that hit him. It was a safety, and it looked like he was getting hit by a truck. And he didn't move at all. You don't want that from your quarterback.
Exactly. When asked about the team's offensive mindset,
yeah,
Colin Hill said, Coach said before the game, we just have to be patient. It's not necessarily about our tempo. It was that we're not going to go down the field and score every time. When we do have to punt, it is okay. We'd rather do that than turn the ball over. He is being patient in that way. And not trying to force things. And in my mind, if you're in the mindset of punting is okay,
mm-hmm,
I understand, like, yeah, a punt is better than a turnover.
Well, every once in a while you have to accept it, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, you never, but that's not the mindset you want to have, be like, oh, it's okay. No. We punted the ball, it's fine. Like we're all right. Like,
no, that's awful.
You have the ball and you're driving down the field, you have to score. If you don't score,
that needs
guess
to be
what?
The mindset, yeah.
And it just blows my mind. And throughout the entire game, I mean, it's not even just the passing with Colin Hill. He's not fully to blame on this part.
No.
It's also the rut, like how our run game was, how CSU's run game was.
Yeah, the run game was
atrocious,
poor, to say the least. Negative 12 yards at halftime. Are you kidding me? what are you supposed to do at that point? You know, and we're knocking on Colin Hill. To his credit, he had zero help from that rushing attack. And you know, I said to Brian Buck at CTV in the press box, I said, "Do you even comprehend how great our passing offense would be if defense were even remotely afraid of our rushing attack?" Because right now, if you're a defensive coordinator, you're thinking, "I'm not gonna pay any attention to that rushing attack because it cannot hurt me. It cannot get past whatever four I rush for a pass. And if I play every play like a pass." There's no way CSU's offense can beat me, and right now CSU isn't proving that wrong. They're so inefficient from the rushing attack that it's not even funny.
Yeah, it's shocking to me. I mean, it's a great aspect to look at. Is like, imagine how if our run game was at least decent enough,
right,
to put up numbers consistently. Imagine how many, you know, times we were able to score, you know, passing the ball down the field and or even having those small checkdowns and being able to produce on multiple levels on the offensive side.
Right.
And we asked Bobo after the game during the post-game press conference.
Right.
It's like, okay, obviously Izzy wasn't working out. What's up? What's going on? Is he not 100%? And is he all right? He goes, oh yeah, Izzy wasn't 100%. He was like at 80%.
Right.
And I'm like,
he
okay,
that's a scapegoat, but that's worse almost.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But then it's also the fact, like, okay, but you kept on handing him the ball.
Right.
And you had negative 12 rushing yards at half, why'd you keep on hanging off the ball?
Well, and you know, at a certain point in the second half, it became clear Marvin Kinsey was doing pretty well. Two rushing touchdowns, and he was, you know, he only had like what, 5 carries for 20 something yards.
Yeah, 5 carries for 24 yards.
Right. Why don't you start making the transition? If Izzy's not 100%, tell him he doesn't need to go anymore because Marvin's working well.
Yeah.
And because he didn't do that, I hate to say it, but I think that's just a scapegoat. I don't think that has much truth to it.
It's shocking to me why they keep on going with that. Like, Izzy, the final, you know, final right here, uh-huh. Izzy Matthews, 7 carries, mm-hmm. -5 yards.
It's unacceptable.
Which in my mind, okay, it's not working out. And you keep on talking about how we can't pass every time. It's like, okay, perfect. You mm-hmm. can't pass every time. And you can't hand off the ball to Izzy Matthews. Cool. You have Marvin Kinsey Jr., Marcus McElroy. Like, you can even do, you know.
Rashad Body is on the bench.
Yeah, if you really want to. I mean, you can have Colin Hill even rush the ball sometimes if you're really feeling that. There's multiple ways you can just hand the ball off to get some kind of production.
Right.
Something.
You'd like to see them, you know, fight a little harder, problem solve, critically think, and see, well, Izzy's not working. Maybe, you know, you can take the blame off Izzy, even if you want, and say the line isn't working. Make a change somewhere. You know, the making a change at quarterback isn't going to help your rushing attack at all, unless you're planning on rushing with him, which they didn't, and I would doubt that they are because of his ACL. If you're going to make a change, it needs to be on the line or at running back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just difficult to see when your defense is holding up, at least for some part of it, that your offense is able to produce something. And that mindset of, oh, yes, it's okay to punt. We'll keep on handing it to Izzy, even though he's not 100% and he's gained -11 yards.
Right.
And we're going to keep on going, and it's okay. Eventually, it'll work out. I'm surprised that the defense is like, listen, score. Like, right. I understand that's like, that's putting in simple terms and there's much more depth to it. But as a person who played on the defensive line, mm-hmm. having to go out there constantly and putting up stops and holding a team to just 3 points mm-hmm. when it's like we had a whole new preparation, you know, Wyoming put in Sean Chambers, who isn't really prone to throwing. He's mainly a running quarterback.
It's hard to defend. It's tiring to defend, even if you do it well.
So they have a quarterback who can at least throw some, which he displayed that today on Friday. He can run, which he displayed perfectly last game in this game. And you have to prepare, and you hold him three points where you've given up 30-plus in the past couple games. It's like, okay, now score. And you put in the guy who's like, oh, yeah, Colin Hill's going to give us the spark on offense, and he's going to make everything click and everything's going to work, and you put in this effort, I'd be furious.
Oh yeah. I would. You know, there's no excuse for what they did. The offense, you know, when you're down, what was it at one point? It was, you know, 28 or 27-7. You were tied, deadlocked for a long time. You looked good at times, and a couple turnovers had you pretty down, but good Lord, do something. And you know, I'm looking at our stat board here, and 34 points is to be honest, not even, it's one of the lower point totals we've allowed this year.
And that's what's frustrating.
Yeah.
That's what's frustrating.
The 18's the lowest. And then 30, I'm seeing, is the second lowest. Yep, 30 is the second lowest we've allowed all year. So 34 is tied for third lowest on the year.
Yeah,
that's not okay.
I mean, it's not okay. Of course, I think you do have to give credit to Wyoming and their offense.
Right. I mean, the defense was doing all they could, but at some point, you got to assume they got pretty discouraged.
Yeah, I mean. Nico Evans, 28 carries, 179 yards.
That man was a monster.
Absolutely. Sean Chambers, the quarterback, 170 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. Passing, he went 7 for 10, 116 yards, 2 touchdowns, which is it's pretty great for a guy who's mainly running the ball.
Yeah, and the so much they had to dedicate to keeping him in that pocket, because he's a pretty big dude and he was just barreling through people. They had to keep a lot of people in there. Our defensive backs just couldn't handle those one-on-one situations. And Nico Evans, he was catching balls out of the backfield too. That guy was, he was tearing us up.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, incredible job by Wyoming mm-hmm. and their offense. And as you know, you've heard during the pregame show, what Brian Buck, Steve TV said, Wyoming's got some units, got some dudes. He got some dudes on defense.
Yeah, Carl Granderson was doing well. Wingard actually almost got ejected because he hit someone so hard.
Yeah, exactly. It was a beautiful hit.
It was
amazing.
It was not a penalty. Good thing they reviewed it. But he hit someone so hard, they thought that it was a dirty hit.
Yeah. That's my favorite part, too. Like, it brings up the fact that was towards, like, near the end of the game, too, when for some reason CSU wanted to have some kind of mm-hmm. sign of offense.
Yeah.
And the referees threw the flag, said targeting, and everyone was booing. And I was like, oh, that's why though? Like, if it's targeting, then we get selected. It's like, right. I guess it just won't hurt. No.
It was Wyoming's fans.
It was Wyoming's fans saying, no, that was a clean hit. Yeah. And I looked around. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
The fact that Wyoming fans are able to fill the noise in a stadium that's on campus and everyone takes pride in it. It's like, oh yes, it's new and it's on campus and people mm-hmm. are there and have them fill up and just be clear as day.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Well, I included that specific play in the article I wrote recapping the game, which is going to be out on KCSUFM.com soon, by the way. I only included specific plays that were scoring plays or big plays like that. I included that one specifically because it marked the point where Wyoming's fans almost outnumbered CSU's fans. And that's just wild to think, you know, I mean, I guess we're losing and it's very late at night and you probably wanted to go home because it was like 11:30 at night, but and by go home, I mean probably go party because it's Hollow weekend, you know. Woo, yay.
Yeah.
But it's a rivalry game, and you're down two possessions. Stick around. We might take this one. You got to have some kind of hope. I, in the press box, even though I knew there was no hope, had a little hope. just because
even I
that's
knew
what fans
no
do.
Hope, but I was there.
Yeah, like, that's what fans do. Even though you know there's no hope, you got to at least pretend there is, you know, for everybody else. You put on the yeah, we could do it. But everybody left. There was, like, three rows of students left, and then, you know, most of the alums and you know, non-student comers, they were mostly still there, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it and with that, at the end of the day, and you know, of course, Wyoming beat us, so that puts, you know, the CSU record 3-6, yeah. 2-3 in the Mountain West, yeah. Which, if you've been following Mike Bobo and the CSU team for the past 3 years, their favorite record is 7-6.
Yeah.
And right now we're at 6 losses. So yeah. Right now there is zero improvement. If you go 4-0 for the next
3-0 and win a bowl game, yeah.
Yeah. And win a bowl game. That's another thing. Yeah, if we go to one.
We have to win the bowl game. That, yeah. I mean, I guess that itself would be a little improvement because as of right now, Bobo has, I think we counted up, he's won, what, 2 rivalry games?
Yeah.
In his time here, he has won 0 bowl games. He's won 0 games against ranked opponents, i.e. Alabama. Mm-hmm. He doesn't win important games. Look at this season. The games he's won, Arkansas, who's trash this year. I mean, it looks good. It looks like a good win
garbage.
Because it's Arkansas. But if you look at who Arkansas has lost to, if you look at who's Arkansas's beaten, it doesn't look any better than, you know, a Hawaii win would look. Hawaii win would probably look better, to be honest.
I knew the Arkansas win wasn't anything because, first of all, CSU had to come back.
Right.
From that game.
I was really excited until I saw the next game against North Texas.
Yeah, and then against UNT, yeah. Arkansas got whooped.
Yeah, and that's when you knew that win didn't really matter. And then San Jose State and New Mexico. Those are both terrible teams.
San Jose, we CSU allowed 30 points yep. in a single quarter,
right.
which is where those 30 points from
that's a loss in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And New Mexico, not a terrible team, but they're not good.
Yeah. They relied on kicker Wyatt Bryan, who
yeah.
literally 2 minutes beforehand yeah. missed the yeah. shortest field goal you could possibly attempt. Oh. And then instead of driving down the field and scoring, CSU instead went, oh, yes, let's give it to Wyatt again from yeah. farther out distance, which blows my mind.
Luckily, he made it. But
yeah.
the fact that you almost lost to New Mexico should be pretty upsetting.
Yeah, exactly.
On your homecoming, you scheduled it for homecoming. And for those of you who aren't, like, you know, familiar with, you didn't play high school ball or something like that, when you schedule homecoming, it's the game you assume you're going to win the easiest.
Mm-hmm. Everyone still there was like, it was an incredible game. Yeah, and in my mind, I'm like, it's not. We should have won that easily.
Right now, very easily, you and me just found a big loss, quote, quote, in each of our wins. And I can't even find a win in any of our losses. Colorado, we just got handled. We didn't put up much of a fight. Florida, it looked good for about a half, and then it was terrible. Illinois State, there's no win in that. There's zero win in that. That should almost count as a double loss.
Yeah, Illinois State, of course, an FCS team.
Right. Boise State, I don't even want to talk about. In Wyoming, like you said, it was 3-0 at half. There's no excuse to lose by 13 points and all most of your touchdowns being scored in garbage time.
Yeah, and when I also look how the Rams are going to have to face Utah State on November 17th.
Yeah.
And Utah State could be ranked
yeah.
this next AP poll.
Yeah.
Because they're, I believe, 7-1 now.
Yeah, they're really good.
As well as Fresno State. And luckily, Fresno State isn't on our schedule.
Yeah, they're
luckily.
Air Force always beats us too, and they're the game right after.
And it's at Air Force as
right.
well.
So like you said, if we win out, we might make a bowl game. And if we win that bowl game, it'll be no improvement.
7-6
right.
again.
Honestly, if we come out of this season with one more win, and I'll consider that a moral victory for me.
You know, I'm just glad that they're not going to go to the Idaho Potato Bowl again.
Yeah.
I'm just glad for that. I'm sorry.
They're not going to go to any bowl this year.
Yeah. So, of course, everyone wants Bobo to be out. But then the cost of getting him out is, what, $8 million?
Yeah, I believe it's $8 million, and then
goes down like
next
two.
Next year is $6 million, the year after is $4 million, the year after is $2 million, mm-hmm. and then he's out of a contract.
So,
and I'm going to be honest with everyone at home, it's not going to happen.
You're thinking it's like, it's absolutely, there's no
not
way.
Not this year, for sure. They can't afford to buy out Eustacy, to buy out Bobo. They've still got the new stadium that they're still paying for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way. No way they can. I mean,
from an economic standpoint,
there's no. Well, and this school's traditionally been very cheap with that kind of thing. There's no way. And Joe Parker has seemed to not really care about that at all, about Bobo,
mm-hmm.
and what he's doing. He hasn't said anything about it. So.
Yeah, that's one thing that I also, and it's been in the back of my mind for this yeah. past couple of times, isn't about, you know, that, but realizing that, you know, Bobo came from Georgia to here.
Yeah.
And then the last couple of years, Georgia really been up there.
Yeah.
Up in the rank, went to a national championship where they lost in a thriller against Alabama.
Right.
And they're looking real good ever since he left.
Right.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just seeing the pieces that are being laid out.
Yeah.
I mean,
is there a connection?
Is there a connection? There might be. I'm not saying 100% yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure he was great at Georgia, and he might have just brought someone in better.
One thing that really perplexes me, Keith Marshall, Todd Gurley, both NFL running backs.
Yeah.
Both came from Mike Bobo's offense. When he came here, we assumed he was going to do a lot for our rushing attack. And our rushing attack
nothing.
In the past, to be honest, hadn't been terrible. Capri Bibbs went to the NFL. D. Hart was pretty great. Jason Odom. He comes here, and you know, Dalen Dawkins goes to the NFL on talent alone, really. He wasn't really utilized great in this offense. kind of used like a power back, even though he's like 5'10". And there were points where you're like, why are you using Daylon like that? And I mean, of course, because he's such an athlete, he's, you know, nephew of Brian Dawkins. He made it work, but it's becoming more and more clear that, you know, it's never been a rushing primary offense here at CSU with Bobo. Mm-hmm. He's a good coach, X's and O's wise, not a good coach player management wise. And I think it was the recruiting differential is why he was so much better at Georgia. Because, you know, if we could recruit a Todd Gurley, I'm sure we'd get Georgia wins here too. But we can't do that. He can at Georgia. That's why he was a little more efficient.
Well yeah, of course. I'm not saying CSU should get Georgia wins.
Oh, no.
What I'm saying, though,
they should have Georgia-type success in the Mountain West.
Yeah, I'm saying is I shouldn't see 7-6 for three straight seasons and then a dip. I should see 7-6, then some improvement, then some improvement, then some improvement. Or at least, you know, it should be an incline, not a flat line drop.
Hey, I heard Jim McElwain's available again.
I honestly thought about it. I thought about what if.
Come back, Mac. Come back, Mac. Because, come back, Mac. I mean, got his money. Come back and stay. Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
And like, actually, you came to CSU, you put us on the map, and you put yourself up in terms of I can coach a team.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Mountain West top 25 team. You don't see that very often. Usually it's just Boise State.
Right.
So put yourself on the map. He then went to Florida. It was a little bit too big for him. You know who's doing really bad right now and needs a coach at this point, really, when you think about it?
Your old team.
Mm. Think about it. Would people be happy about it? Probably not first. But if you find like kind of the same successes that you did, I mean, you had a good first season at Florida, and you brought the CSU team back on the map in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone's going to look away from the fact that you left. I think this is going to be an opportunity time for, like, hey, redemption story. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be terrible.
My only hesitation from that, though, is what happens when he does put us back on the map, and is he going to leave again? Which, in all honesty, will probably be yes.
Yeah.
Which is why, in my mind, I mean, it would be great, but why I think CSU needs to look for is kind of like what they try to do.
With basketball,
where they find someone who has that kind of roots.
Coach of Abilene Christian, coach of Illinois State.
Exactly.
You know?
Someone who understands the actual like rivalries.
Uh-huh.
Someone where when they play against CU, they know it's unacceptable to lose, and they should at least have one win.
Yeah, one rivalry.
Win coming from them. Like Wyoming. They should understand the big deal with it.
You have an excuse with Colorado in that they're in a bigger conference, get better recruiting, better funding, all that. You don't have an excuse to lose to Wyoming, three straight years?
Exactly.
No excuse.
You
are of exactly the same.
And I understand it's like, oh yeah, but Wyoming, you know, the last year they had, you know, an NFL quarterback who like
you had an NFL receiver.
It's like, yes. So what?
You sent seven players to NFL training camp.
How that changed this year? Their quarterback was gone this year, and we got
brutalized.
Beat.
Yeah,
and it was run game.
Right,
that's what it was. It was all running, and it's like, what are they gonna do? Rush the ball.
To be honest, Josh Allen barely beat them last year.
It's frustrating. That's for sure.
It is
when you put in everything and you see how. Coach Bobo says Con Hill is going to be our starter. He's going to be the spark, and then
honestly, that's the only thing that put me on the I don't like Coach so much anymore bandwagon. You know, Bobo's a great mind, he is, and I really didn't, I wasn't on that train of we need a new coach until he made the decision about Colin Hill. That's what put me on that.
I think I was fine with it, but then when you came out in the second half,
mm-hmm.
and he was still in, and then he caused three turnovers, basically, and he was still in. I went, if I was KJ Carr-Samuels, I'd be furious right now, and I mean, you can't voice that frustration, but it's like I've had success. I've brought this team to wins in awful situations. I've been able to be a top 10 quarterback in college football in the FBS, and I've been working with the best as best as I can Heck, even when I drive and I score a touchdown, you still take me out. And yet, after three turnovers and zero touchdowns, you're not going to put me in, really? Mm-hmm. That's your mindset? That's what really, I was like, I can't, I'm sorry.
There's it's just so hypocritical.
I when I look at that, I'm like, that's right. Where you think the issue
is? That's where you lost me.
That's not even like where you lost me. I was like, that's where you think the problem is.
Yeah.
And I look at the scoreboards.
Yeah.
Yes, the issue is the quarterback. When we gave up 43 points and 45 points and 27 points and 48 points and 34 points and 30 points and 56 points and 34 points.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, the quarterback's the issue when we give up 30-plus points in
almost every game.
Oh, yeah.
No. Every game outside of New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah. That's unacceptable. And if you look at the rushing attack on the season, I don't even want to know those numbers.
It's not good.
They're not good. I can tell you that when there's been several games where we've had most of our rushers finishing with negative yardage. They're not good.
Yeah. It's interesting what is going to happen, I'm going to say, in these next three games.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what happens in the offseason.
Yeah, we got a bye week here before the last three. Exactly. If you were coach, what are you going to work on?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I would especially work on the defensive end because mm-hmm. giving up that many points in that many games. What was it, like 34 points per game, you said?
They're allowing
like 37, 34.
No, I believe it's 35 and a half a game.
Something like that.
And they're outside of the 18. They're second lowest on the season's 30, and then there's like three games where they allowed 34.
Yeah, and I would work on the defensive end, and that's the only thing I would work on.
Yeah. And oh, 27 to Arkansas.
I would work on a defense and then work on Marvin Kinsey getting first reps.
Yeah.
In terms of being a back.
You're going to have to.
I don't even care about Colin Hill or KJ at this point. Colin Hill is going to be the quarterback in the next season. Mm-hmm. KJ is going to be gone. I can leave it up to someone else to figure out that kind of battle. And I would tell someone, hey, I'm not going to name the starter this week or next week. You decide because I put in Colin and it didn't really work out.
Uh-huh.
So you decide. We're going to work on defense and give Kinsey first reps.
Okay.
That's what I would. I don't know what, because every time we ask Coach Bobo, hey, what are you going to do in this next to prepare? He goes, we're just going to put in the work. Awesome.
What a diplomatic answer. Yeah.
That doesn't tell me anything.
Right.
That doesn't tell me anything about how we're going to get better.
Tell me something that's going to make me not upset.
It's infuriating.
Right.
And now it's at the point where it's, all right, after the season, how in the world are we going to keep half our players?
I don't know.
How are we going to keep Preston Williams? It's been incredible.
Honestly, this is a slightly off topic, but not really. Preston going to the NFL, yes, he's eligible to declare. I don't think he should this year for his best interest.
Okay.
Anyone who's seen Preston play, he's a bit of a drama queen. You know, he throws the ball down, all that stuff, which isn't a terrible knock, you know, because of his skill. But you and I both know he's dropped several passes that he shouldn't have dropped.
Okay. He doesn't go to the NFL draft, but he came from Tennessee
right.
to here.
Right.
I mean,
I'm sure he will declare because he's got, you know, that personality.
Yeah. Even say he doesn't go to the draft.
Oh, you think he's going to
transfer somewhere else.
I mean, it could happen.
Didn't do a very good job at Tennessee, had some issues there, came here.
Yeah.
I mean, even with an awful offense this past Friday, he's able to still put up 10 catches, 126 yards.
Yeah.
And he has 71 receptions, which is seventh on CSU's single season receptions list right now. And at this point, it's like, all right, I came here. I proved that I can at least produce something. Let me go to a different school where I have a chance to, you know, actually win, actually have an impact, and have my draft stock go through the roof.
Yeah, that would be neat. For him, I would be very upset. And honestly, we've got some great receiver potential here, as he's seen. So that's really the only thing that, would keep him here if he stays.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, we've actually run more than you'd think. Izzy has 573 yards on the year.
Yeah.
1,100 yards total on the season.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel like it. It really doesn't.
It doesn't at all. But next game is actually going to be a bye week this week.
Yeah.
But the next game that CC will play is going to be at Nevada on November 10th. And we're going to see how that's going to go. And at this point, everyone, I think, is waiting for the season just to be over, just to see what's going to happen.
I'd like one more win, but yeah.
Yeah, I think we all would like that, but...
I mean, it doesn't really matter at this point. It's just, you know...
Exactly, it's just kind of getting what you get.
Yeah.
But this has been the KCSU's post-game podcast. We're going to try to do this every game so far.
Yep.
And you can catch us next... Not next week, because it's a bye week, of course.
Yeah,
we
on the 11th.
For Nevada.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Hope to catch you all after the next CSU football game.